These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And this is Bravo Breakdowns, and we are so excited. We are teeming with electric anticipation because today we have two very special guests. Their podcast, Beyond the Blinds, is wildly popular, and they talk about reality TV, celebrity gossip, all the things that still give us dopamine now.
The Mayflower,
yeah. Also important. Please welcome to the podcast Kelly Williams and Troy McKitty.
Yay!
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming. We're so excited to talk Bravo with you because it's been cooking lately.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah. Just like a quick question to start, like Michelle and I, we have been Bravo fans from like back when they showed like operas. What brought you to Netflix?
Okay, I'm not co-signing on that. I signed up with Queer Eye, but okay.
Okay, well.
But I do, I appreciated that.
I appreciate the art form and I don't miss it from the network.
I've been watching Bravo since those days. Since I started watching Bravo, I think my first ever Bravo show literally was like Inside the Actor Studio, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then it became Queer Eye and just, you know, Kathy Griffin and
oh
like
my
all
God.
Of the early
Tabitha
early,
takes
early.
Over.
Tabitha, Jeff Lewis, like
ooh, deep
all
cut.
The like workout. Like I was like,
yeah,
what
was her name? The crazy workout
Jackie.
Late. Jackie. She was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm an OG Bravo girly. It's always been my addiction, my gateway drug. I'm obsessed.
Did you watch like the one season wonders, like Après Ski or like
those are my favorite shows.
Gallery Girls.
Gallery Girls, Ladies of London.
Oh my God.
What was the one in heels?
Hell on Heels or something? No.
Something like that about like Black businesswomen in mm-hmm. heels. Like, I watched all of them. But Gallery Girls is my all-time favorite one-off.
Yeah, I used to watch My Life on the D-List. And then I fell off for a very, very long time until one of my friends bullied me into watching Vanderpump Rules. So that was kind of my gateway back into Bravo. And then I became obsessed with, like, Summer House. I really love Below Deck. And honestly, it took me until pretty much Troy and my fiance bullying me to watch Housewives. It took me a long time to get there, but I'm glad I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning. But I'm more about like, I really love Below Deck. I really love Summer. Well, I used to really love Summer House.
Mm-hmm.
Million Dollar Listing New York, I think is really fun.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
You like more of a the set piece of a workplace,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And Troy and I figured it out. I love Below Deck because it's like real world. It has
a
real world vibe. And that's, you know, I'm very MTV with my reality shows. Unfortunately, still to this day.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah,
do you like the challenge?
Oh, my God. I could talk about the challenge for years.
Yeah. Have you been watching this new season? I feel like it's like getting back on track.
Oh, watching Nani scream at Anissa, I was like injected into my veins.
Oh my God. Nani, one of our best drunk screamers on reality TV.
So I'm like, Nani's more famous than any president will ever be to me.
President Nani.
Yeah.
Is the dream. So like how do you guys, this is like kind of a weird question, but how do you guys like watch these shows? Like I feel like a lot of people watch them kind of like sports where it's like I root for my team Angie or like my team Lisa, or like just some people watch it like as a comedy for the giggles or like or the drama
or like an opera.
I watch it like an opera, for sure.
Where you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
I get it.
I like being a spectator. Like, there are certain housewives I really like. I'm probably more on teams for, like, Summer House. Like, I'm mm-hmm. a big Hub House girl.
She is the show.
Yeah. But yeah, when it comes to the housewives, I'm just kind of like, they all seem bad. And mm-hmm. as long as they're funny, that's all I care about.
I wanna be bad.
He just announced a comeback. Willa Ford just announced that she's trying to make a comeback.
I feel like we manifested this.
Yeah. We really did.
We've been doing this for nobody for almost a year.
We were the Etsy witch on that one. Yeah, that's what it takes.
The manifestation work. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
I think that I watch... Well, I can't say I watch all the shows the same. I watch Bravo, or I watch Housewives like sports. So to me, I watch The Real Housewives like I would football. Like I'm like counting plays. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, oh, Bronwyn had an amazing play this past episode. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
You know, moved herself up a ranking.
She like, got a touchdown.
Like yeah. She threw a goalie or whatever. like I feel like I watch it like a producer. Whereas the other shows, it's easier for me to kind of let go and like true escapism. Whereas Housewives is like really a sport to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 100% the same where it's like it's all about the analysis because it's kind of like they're like social strategy games almost Housewives 1,000%. And like the positioning.
And there's so much like, like they're always all scheming, but drunk. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Yeah.
And it's the only place you can see women of a particular age, like, in complex situations.
That's a Wendy Williams quote.
It is.
I have never heard. Oh, I gasped. I haven't heard this used in IRL. And so, like, I've only seen it in people say it on TikTok.
Oh, it's like one of my
favorite. A woman of a particular age.
It's such a respectful way of saying, like, you know, older women who, like, don't get featured on TV in complex ways. Like, where else are you going to see women that age, like, starting businesses, getting divorced, you know, having.
Failing businesses.
Failing businesses. Like, you know, it's like only on Housewives.
Only on Housewives.
Only a house, you know, and it's like, I'm so glad to see women of a particular age.
I can't believe you clocked that. Nobody ever.
Wait, are you kidding me? Like, I used to just like watch Wendy Williams after work all of the time, and it would just feel so much better.
She's my inspiration.
When she ate literal crow on TV.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, I think about that all the time. Herstory.
Speaking of Herstory, let's talk a little bit about this season of Orange County, how do you guys feel about so much of the plot being based on things that happened like during the first Obama administration? Are we like tired of rehashing or are we enjoying it?
Yes, we can reminisce about Naked Wasted.
Luckily for me, it's pretty new.
Okay.
You know, I just kind of started watching. So
this feels like your Obama years now.
Yeah. Like to me, this is all new, right? Like I did go back and watch Naked Wasted and stuff, but I'm still like learning who these women are. But it must be exhausting for people who have watched it since that season. And it's like, why are we still talking about it?
Whereas
for me, I'm like, oh, I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To you, like, Tamara just slept with Jeff Timmons, like, a week ago. And you're like, oh, my God, this is huge.
Jason, bleep that.
Bleep that, sorry.
We could just be like, say Jeff Timmons and people like, is that somebody she went to high school with?
Or just say allegedly. Just throw an allegedly there.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
That's our lawyer.
Yeah. Allegedly. We can afford one.
What about you, Troy?
Okay, so I knew that it would come up, right? Like, when I saw that Gresham was coming back, I was like, okay, so this will be, like, the reopening of the Naked Wasted case that we never fully closed. Right. But, like, I just didn't think it would be... For one thing, I thought, because Gretchen is so obsessed with Housewives still, and because Slade is so obsessed with Housewives still, I just thought they would have more arsenal, that more going on.
Done something in the last 15 years. It's like, God, at least go to Bass Lake.
Can we at least go to Bass Lake?
Let's go to Bass Lake.
She always like.
But yeah, I'm just kind of like, this is so lame. And like for that to be her big smoking gun, like.
Mm-hmm.
Tamara recorded a song and accidentally recorded herself 20 years ago having sex in a studio. It's like, did Slade like tell you to say that last night or something in bed? Like, what is this?
Yeah. It's just so like, it's so annoying because it's so transparent. It's so on brand for them. It's like, guys, we know that you like tried to film a video where like Tamara's husband Eddie was a guy who looked like him was getting a blowjob and then like tried to leak it to try to make him seem gay, but it was just like the back of his head. Like, we know these are your machinations. This is your whole agenda. Like, you gotta try a new shtick.
Yeah, and I think it's just like hard because like so many of them are pro. Well, Tamara's a pro, you know, like Gretchen, I don't know if I would have put her as a pro, but she was a lot better when she was on before than what we're getting now. But I just like, I'm like, God, like the show is better than this. Like we've just gotten, we're on what, season 19? Like there's just been so many iconic seasons. And like this one's just so like difficult in so many ways. And also because our favorite girl is gone now. Katie.
Yeah, like I didn't think we would get this much without Katie. I'm like,
yeah,
are they really doing this?
Well, are they really having like celebrating Persian New Year by having all of your friends take lie detector tests set up in your children's bedrooms that you've blacked out the curtains and there's strangers in their room asking your friends if they're telling the truth? Persian New Year. That was insane. Also, the fact that Emily was like, I don't know when Persian New Year is. I tried Googling it.
Sorry, what were you saying, Kelly?
No, I was just going to ask, because Troy and I are against lie detectors, like on shows. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about it?
Oh, I know.
We loved that episode, but it's like we know it's clownery. Like, it's theater. You can't like act like it was so surprising to us to see the fandom be like, oh my gosh, they should have gotten better lie detectors. Like, that guy was an actor who's been on other shows. It's like, lie detector, they're not even admissible in court. Like, this is just for funsies.
Yeah.
But you guys don't even like the performance of it. You're like,
yeah. You didn't like when the lie detector guy was, or the woman was like, about Katie, like, I've never seen someone fail so badly as you have. And Katie's just like a robot. She's like, okay, yeah, I'll leave.
I just honestly feel like that guy is just like, we're beyond. He has been, we talked about this.
Didn't
on
he
our
have,
show.
He had an IMDb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, full IMDb. If you go to his website, it is absolutely hysterical. It's like a WordPress from like 1994. And he's been on so many shows. Like, he's been on every like iteration of reality TV, like each decade. Like, he's like all the way back to like Flavor of Love. And, like, he must have 1,000 credits.
So does he know Tiffany Pollard? I Love New York.
I think he knows every reality star that's ever taken a lie detector. I'm not kidding.
See, now I really respect him more.
I do, like, too. We got to get him on the show.
He's a historian. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah. It's so funny.
How do you guys feel about Katie, like, in general?
I don't mind Katie. I think Katie's, like, a bad liar, but I still don't think she was lying about Gretchen. Like, I actually believed her. But I don't know. I thought Katie was, like, fine. She didn't bug me, and she actually brought in... if she didn't bug me, I'm like, she's good. She didn't bother me. But
she's so silly.
Like new drama. Like, I liked that she was bringing new drama. And I know people were sick about, like, the Kiki Monique and, like, the blog stuff. But to me, they used to talk about Radar online. And it's just, like, instead of Radar now, we have Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe they, like, talk too much about Kiki, but Kiki's always also on Radio Andy, so it makes sense why they're promoting her.
Synergy.
But she seemed to just bring like new drama instead of maybe Tamara fucked Jeff from 98 Degrees allegedly.
Yeah, it's like Katie doesn't know if she's supposed to hold on to information to stretch out stories and like get more episodes, which I like that she's just like last season, she's like, oh, Shannon, you like tried running over John Jansen's girlfriend. It's on a Ring camera. And she,
no. I know.
Supposed to say
But that. I think she was going to talk about how, wait, did she get disconnected? Oh, no, she's just frozen.
This is when Riverside is the worst.
Yeah, but we've had such good Riverside luck lately. We were, of course, we were due when y'all were here. Our most anticipated.
We're used to it. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, don't feel bad. Like, we're used to it.
Oh,
Oh my gosh.
Would it be like... funny if she was just like, I'm not frozen, I'm just sitting here.
She did just get Botox, so it could be why she's so still.
She's like, I'm talking fully.
Okay, I think she is gonna try to hop back on.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what we liked about Katie was that she she's like in sports terms, like she's terrible, like she's so fourth string. So I love seeing her as the A team and then being like, what the hell? You know, it's great. Yeah.
She's just like bad at doing the housewife thing, like,
yes,
that they all do. That's kind of how I felt about it. I was just mm-hmm. like, okay, like, you guys all talk to bloggers, like, you all have your favorite Instagrams that you DM, and it's mm-hmm. like, what is it's worse that she did it because she's bad at it?
Exactly. She's getting, and it's like the fact that they kind of kicked her out of the cast for being bad at it. I was like, I don't like that kind of takeover. They shouldn't have that kind of power.
No. Yeah, that's like, That was like a real drop the ball moment for production to me.
I agree. I feel like they've been these Alex Baskin productions though have been doing it more lately. Like they let Janet kick Kristen off the Valley at the end of season one too. I'm like, dude, get control.
Yeah, yeah, and tell Janet to stop leaving.
Yes. She's not Shannon. She can't hilariously leave. Like,
you will all know the truth.
What do you guys think of Shannon this season?
Oh, God. I don't think Shannon gets enough heat for drinking and driving and driving into a home and then like walking her dog trying to pretend that she didn't just drive into a home.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, she did too.
And I don't know. I thought last season, like, maybe Tamara didn't need to be
so hard.
Nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I would have probably been pretty hard on Shannon, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I think it – I don't know. I feel like if you – like, they're real friends. Like, she did a lot of that on camera. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think – sorry. Oh, no, go ahead, Troy. No. You.
I was going to say, I think that Shannon is just what we thought – I think that this is just a thing that happens with housewives. When they're around too long, the things that we love about them become things that we can no longer stand. Mm-hmm. And like, I used to think it was so funny that Shannon was always a mess. Mm-hmm. And like, it's always, where's my other? I'm wearing two different shoes, Tamara, my eyelash. Like, I loved the Shannon trying to leave the house drama.
Yeah. Like, you know, she has like a colonoscopy, a colonic or whatever stuck in her ass.
Yeah.
So there's been so many episodes like that.
It's like, Tamara, I can't get the
two. I can't get the two on. I can't get it out. Katie, I can't get it out. It's like, God damn it. Can somebody just give her an X-lax, please?
I used to love that stuff, but now I'm like, I just think it would do her wonders to take just a little, to quote Dorinda, a pause, just a little moment to like recoup and not be on camera and, you know.
I kind of agree. The shtick is just like, I feel like wearing a little thin, and then they're leaning too heavily on her too this season where it's like, oh, nothing's going on. Shannon, do something. You know, like,
try to make up with Tamara, but don't make up with Tamara, but
Shannon, try to get to dinner on time.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. No.
That will never happen.
Also, like, so her birthday, her dad's birthday lunch, which was like,
oh my God,
like the Marilyn Monroe. That was really funny, but the like heartbeat meter thing was kind of insane. He's like in his 90s.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's going to die soon. I was like, oh, a little too shenanigans with the edit. I feel like there is that kind of like looming feeling all the time over Orange County now, because like it's like Jersey got put on pause, Roni got rebooted, mm-hmm. and then you kind of can't help but have the feeling of like, ooh, is this kind of running out of steam? Mm-hmm. Is everyone's like, is Shannon done? Is Tamara done? Like, we're so worried that it's like this isn't going to work anymore. It's grinding to a halt.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, for me overall, I have still thought it was like a pretty solid season. I don't know. Have you got, like, what are you guys' thoughts?
I've enjoyed it. I just think, I think it was last episode when Tamara was like, what do you want me to do, bleed for you? Or the episode before. Because that's what I was saying. I'm like, she keeps apologizing and no one will accept mm-hmm. it. And like, just say you don't want to be friends with her. I don't know if that's like not okay to say on Housewives, but it's kind of exhausting watching her apologize and then them trying to be friends and watching Tamara pull mm-hmm. Gretchen to the side and Gretchen being like, we're friends now. And then like, the next episode, they're doing double middle fingers and you're like, is Gretchen about to hit Tamara?
Oh my God. Okay. Like, but I love that. Like, I know, everyone's so mad at Tamara the last two seasons, but she's such a pro. Like when she, oh my God. And then when she storms out of whatever, where were they? Like, I don't even know where they were, like a former CrossFit. I'm not sure what building this was in Southern California, but like she storms out of there and she runs into like another patron who's like just trying to go to the bathroom. She's like, my way.
No, watching Tamara like get up from where she was sitting so she could turn and be stare like, directly.
Yeah, and she knew that it would be better on camera. I was like, God, she's so good.
I know, right, like I get so many DMs when I say like Tamara and they're like, bad take. And I'm like, I don't know. I like that.
I like it. I mean, I want her to always be yelling. Scream. God. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Nobody does it better.
We're Tamara apologists.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, that, there is no OC without Tamara. Mm-mm, I'm sorry. Mm-mm, they tried it. Mm-mm. It didn't work. And it's always the same people that are trying to get somebody fired that are like, we need so-and-so back. And it's like, didn't you just say you wanted them let go? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think Tamara is so detrimental to that show. Like, and I,
but she has given, she sacrificed everything in her life for that show. Her relationship with her children, her marriages, like her face, like everything. This woman has given everything away just to have a job where she screams at her friends.
Yeah.
And she's been every kind of housewife. Like she's been the voice of reason. She's been our eyes and ears, like the outside, like the Greek chorus. She's been the villain. She's been the joke. Like
she's been the drunk. Like
she's been the drunk. She's been the religious baptized, whatever.
Like, that was a great.
Like we watched that woman get baptized. Like,
that was one of the greatest moments in television ever, where she's getting baptized, but like as she's going underwater, like the producers, like editors, they did a montage of just her screaming at everybody that she loves. You see my face, I'm done.
She's like, this entire time, all I've needed was Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
Jesus jugs 2.0.
Okay, damn. Okay. I love it, though.
Yeah, she's such a good utility player, like where it's like she can step into all of the different
And she knows when she has to do stuff. So she knows that everyone hates her right now. But like without her, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Shoot.
What do you think about this like version that we have right now of Heather Dubrow? And do you like Heather Dubrow?
I like Heather. Okay. Yeah. I like Heather a lot. She feels friend of this season. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like they're kind of pushing like other potential reality. She's always kind of been pushing her own, peddling her wares in her and Terry's shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's always a lot of spawn con with her. But I think in terms of like someone who's not going to give a ton of drama, but is going to push story, I much prefer her to Emily and Gina.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, I don't dislike Heather. I think that she's done a lot for the show and she's kind of the only one that's still like actually wealthy, you know, like how the show really started with like all this crazy wealth. But I don't know. She's like all the way in Beverly Hills and she won't shut up about it. And like her little sleepover she had with Gretchen and Emily where she was like, okay, girls, I got you the tiniest little beds to sleep in with fairy lights.
And then didn't sleep in the third one. It's like shit like that is masterful. It's like, oh my God. She always finds a way to
sleep. And then it's like, we always have to know exactly how much she spent on whatever event. And I'm like, I don't think we hear that all the time on other people's events. Even the sleepover, she was like, I spent $15,000 on this sleepover. It's like, bitch, that's Papa John's pizza. Right. I know DoorDash can be expensive. But like, this is crazy. Yeah.
But with bumps of caviar.
I know, the caviar. Oh, my right. God. And then like the, I don't know, whatever weird party, her late birthday party thing that she had, like at the former Christian, like televangelist network. And there's just like, yeah, I don't like a Heather Dubrow event anymore.
I think she feels neutered. Like she feels, happened to my Heather?
Yeah.
Where is my finger pointing glazed
low base bullshit? Yeah, she's not
where is
she's
she?
She's not being a, she's not chastising everybody enough, and it sucks.
I hate to say this, but you know the way that they're bringing all these ghosts of Christmas past to trigger certain cast members, like with Alexis and Shannon and Tamara and Gretchen, they might need to do a disclaimer up top. But might need to bring back Kelly Dodd just for an episode, just to really get that crazy Heather out, you know.
Either Kelly Dodd or whoever that drunk woman was that ate her cake.
Oh, yes!
The bow off my cake. That woman will trigger Heather to.
Oh my yes. God, okay, she was.
She's less problematic.
Who was that girl? Oh my God,
she was an heiress. I can't remember who she was from, some like big Hilton type family. We were like, what? Or she married like, it was very, I can't remember now. But she's a legend just for the bow eating.
Yeah, bow. For ripping that bow, that fondant bow.
Also, fondant. Ugh, I know. Crazy.
It's like, Heather, were you going to eat that fondant bow?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, she's like, she didn't even know.
Let's be real.
She's like, I didn't even know you could eat cake.
Yeah. You ate the bow off my cake. I love that quote.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pivot to a franchise that's still fresh, still in its youth, still I would say in its golden era. Mm-hmm. This week's episode of Salt Lake City. It was a very Lisa heavy episode. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel about that?
I do not like Lisa Barlow. I am sick of Lisa Barlow. I cannot stand. All she does is yell. She's like, you don't know anything about me. Like, I'm like, girl, calm down. And when she's like, look at my posters, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like,
are you kidding?
She drives me so crazy.
I would decorate like my daughter's fifth birthday with those posters.
The easels,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh my God, yeah. the pictures of her and John on the yacht and everything. I was like, God,
I'm so far away.
Yeah,
but I think that is like a where the tide is turning with the fandom too, where it's like a lot of people are feeling over Lisa'd. Where are you at with it, Troy?
I feel the same. I do think mm-hmm. that like after years and years of just like such so much bullshit coming from yeah. her, like, you know, she is like the quintessential woman that signs up for these shows with a closet full of skeletons mm-hmm. and lies. And she's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it's all bullshit and smoke and mirrors, yet wants to do a show about her private life.
Yeah.
Like, and, mm-hmm. you know, I'll never understand women like her that sign up for these shows. But it feels like her time to have to like own some shit.
She's gonna
because
have,
she's
yes.
just been pumping bullshit up our asses yeah. for so long.
Well, honestly, mm-hmm. when she was like, I'm with Blake and Ben right now, being from Beyond the Blinds, I was like, actually, they don't go to events together at all. So you weren't. Right?
No, because Jennifer Garner would still show up and be like, what the fuck are you doing here, Blake? Comes back on.
After the town, they're not allowed to be within 50 yards of each other at this point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and also, yeah, the way she was like, this is going to be an event with like
Steve Carell.
You know, Steve Carell. You know, Ramsey Youssef, it was maybe like 12 celebrity. And I was
Dave
like,
Ramsey,
yeah,
Christian Credit Management.
Are you a PA? Like, it's like how many actors you're
she was like,
with?
She's like a seat filler at some event. She's like, Steve Carell will be over here. Blake will be
like
here.
Ben
will
be here.
And I loved when she was like, make sure there are no nuts. Does anyone have nuts and nut allergy? Is anyone allergic to nuts? It's like, what are you even fucking
She's
talking
manic.
About?
Oh, God. Well, like this episode, Yeah, it's like also the episode before where she's trying to tell Heather, like, I have a different life than everybody. I do big things.
Heather has like two number one New York bestsellers.
Like, I know. Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, the feds descended on like Beauty Lab and Laser. Nothing on this show will ever be more iconic than that.
Yeah, so and it's crazy because it's like, okay, describe them. And she's like, well, you know, Ben's there. Like, it's like we can't really narrow down. Like, what does she do even? Like, she doesn't still run Sundance.
Oh,
she has a tequila company that
no one's ever been able to purchase
in the wild. I have never seen Vita tequila in my life anywhere.
No,
and Brad. I mean, and Ben can't drink that. So
no.
Oh yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And then Blake has she's got Buzz Brews,
Betty Buzz. Yes. I think that's named after her daughter. Doesn't she have a daughter named Betty?
She does. Taylor Swift wrote a song called Betty and said. All the characters are named after Blake Lively's children.
And now they don't speak.
Look at that.
Oh. Wait, isn't that the name of one of her albums? Don't Speak or... Oh, no, I think it's called Speak Now or something.
Speak Now.
I don't think I'm... Well, Lauren, don't cry.
No.
Lauren, it's okay. They'll be friends again. It's okay.
I ship them.
I do wonder if they'll be friends again. I don't know.
Sure they will.
I don't think that they will. I think when Taylor Swift says bye to you, like, you're done with her forever. And I think, like, wrapping her into a big lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't think you come back from that.
They're like, sorry, you're never going to see your godmother again.
Nope, sorry. And then she's going to change the name of those songs to Taylor's version, which is other kids' names.
No, Taylor will make them change the name of the kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's very powerful.
Taylor's version.
That's hysterical.
We can't wait for the album to drop in a few hours, so.
I know.
Was that tonight?
I don't know. I think so.
I'll be fast asleep.
I think so because actually I was reading about a blind about it because – I guess one of her song lyrics got leaked and people were saying that it was like, it's about Charlie XCX.
Yes. She brought up cocaine.
Cocaine. So people were like, this is about Charlie. Sorry, Charlie.
She wants to work it out on the remix.
And she named it Sorry, Charlie. Sorry, Charlie and your cocaine problem. No, I think it was something about she dated Matt Healy, who's in a band with Charlie X.
So I can tell you the lore if you want to know the lore.
Yes.
Is it about Lord?
No. But I guess it maybe could be. But Charlie opened up for Taylor for Reputation, and Charlie was like, I fucking hate singing for kids, basically. So since that, there's been an issue, and then Charlie is married to someone from 1975, and she wrote a song called Sympathy's a Knife. And during it, she was like, I hope I don't see someone backstage before the show. And she was referencing Taylor.
Oh.
So that's the whole.
So they just don't like each other?
Yes. So they just don't enjoy one another.
They're very different. Sense.
They're so different. Yeah.
But I'm also like, Taylor, I saw you at Coachella. You know.
You did?
I mean, like, in the videos.
I was like, did she... Yeah. Perform? I don't think she was.
No, I was like, was she doing
in the crowd? I was like, I know what Molly looks like, Taylor Swift.
No, her name's Taylor, and Molly is going to be the name of what is it? Taylor's version of Molly. I missed a lot of her in that bathroom.
I'm like, what did I just walk into?
You Taylor walked into the Charlie XCX Taylor Swift feud.
Right before that, we were talking about Blake Lively and Taylor Swift, if they'd ever be friends again.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All things end up pointing towards Brad again.
Yeah.
That's yes. Right. Everything always comes back to Brad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. So then we were talking about
Lisa Barlow.
Lisa Barlow. Yeah.
So I guess like the previous episode, we, you know, at that really fancy brunch in the middle of the day where everyone's wearing evening gowns, you know, like they're like, okay, we're going to talk about Lisa's lawsuits and all the things. Lisa's really unhappy. So this episode, Lisa thinks this is going to be her, like, you know, vindicating herself.
Mm-hmm.
The way that these, I will say that nobody does a lunch the way SLC girls do a lunch. Every iconic meal they have is at a lunch. Like, they never have crazy dinners. They just have these insane, like the Audrey Hepburn lunch and the, like, the Met Gala lunch. Like, now this lunch where Lisa's like, I have my select friends that I want to relax with before lunch. We're going to go skeet shooting so I can relax with my best friends. And then the meal will be served. That was also bananas. Like, never in my life.
Yeah, the way they structure episodes on SLC, I think, is like so much of the success, because it starts with like the smaller personal scenes and then things get a little more insane with the skeet shooting, and then it's always like the big set piece with everyone there screaming about blowjobs, and it's like, it really just heightens beautifully.
They're very experimental with the editing on SLC in a way. Like, even with the premiere, like, I was trying to think, had I ever seen a Real Housewives premiere where they just go straight into it like that, and like there was no, like, you know, what has this person been up to? Or like, you know, you see Mary like putting grapes on a plate or whatever and sitting down with her son, like, you know, setting up like what they've been up to. They were just like, let's go straight into it, and then you can get the backstory throughout the season.
Yeah, in media re, it's probably Angie's Greek influence.
Also, like, even just like the trips that they do on SLC, like, it's like they're always torturing these women. It's like, we're gonna take you to the middle of the woods in an RV that doesn't have like running water. You can't, like, and then also we're taking you to Milwaukee. Like, it's just like
their trips are crazy. Like, what is it about this city that they just go on the worst?
And they're like, they act like they're excited. Like, oh my God, Milwaukee. And then Mary's like, let me tell you a story about my dad.
I feel like they go in the, it's because they're so game.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like Shannon Bedore would be like, fuck you, I'm not going to the Provo woods in a camper. But everyone here is so down to make TV. They even got married to live in like a camper for a day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that team spirit I really love.
He's like, we're going to Orlando, Florida.
But we can't afford Disney, but we're not going to Disney. We might go to Universal. But not Harry Potter world.
Kills me.
We saw, how do you guys feel about Bronwyn? We saw a little more of her family, specifically Mumsy, her mom. And did her chilling words and demeanor give you any more insight or sympathy into who Bronwyn is?
I love Bronwyn. Like, I love everything about her. I even love like her speaking voice. I'm like, I have a crush on Bronwyn and I can't hide it. And like her five boxers, I'm like, yeah, I want to meet all those dogs. And I felt like watching her scene with her mom, I was like, I hope Lisa feels really bad, because Bronwyn's going through a lot right now.
Yeah, it was intense.
Yeah, I also love, I'm a Bronwyn girl. I call her a professional housewife.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like one of those women that steps in and is just like, she's a Terminator. Yeah. Like, she's just so good.
She's got that X factor. She's a natural.
Yes. And she, like, is also so vulnerable and, like, you know, at the risk of, like, looking stupid, like, her admitting that she lied about the necklace and stuff. Like, that to me is just, like, I always say on our show, like, there are housewives that are good at passing the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't hold the ball too long and they know how to keep it moving, keep it, like, going back and forth. Whereas, like, she's like just so good. I'm obsessed with her this season. I think I might this season be more obsessed with her than I ever have been.
Yeah, I feel the same way where, you even mentioned her at the beginning of the episode as someone who was like really emerging as like a kind of a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with, she has just dog walked Lisa and like also like really helped with, like, a lot of times when they're throwing accusations, at least in the past, or have tried to do a takedown, it's so confusing. Like, jizz for jazz, devolved. Yeah. And, like, Bronwyn is very clear-headed, and she can really focus and be like, the lawsuits were, you know, they're all dismissed. Well, that means you're paying them off, right? And then Lisa has no response.
She's like, denied!
yeah. And I also really like the rivalry, I feel like, between her and Heather to be the normal one. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Do you guys find the relationship between them to be interesting this season?
Well, Troy has a theory about Heather and Bronwyn.
Oh,
yeah, I do. I was talking about it with my friends earlier today. I'm like trying to gauge people. I think it's the most interesting rivalry because, for one thing, I just think like it's so middle school, but like adults, it is truly a middle school lunch table vibe where Heather just wants the cool girls to like her so bad. Mm-hmm. And like Lisa is her ultimate cool girl. Like she has this thing in her mind that she's worked up, but like it also feels kind of queer coded to me. Uh-huh. Like,
ooh,
it feels sometimes like Heather has crushes. Uh-huh. And like she's that girl that doesn't know what to do with that energy. And
she has been single for a long time. Oh my god. Well,
I mean, she's never had a boyfriend on,
okay, because even when we get to part of the episode with her in her bedroom,
in her bed. Mm. Yeah.
I think she has a big old fat lesbian crush on Bronwyn, and she doesn't know what to do with it, because when they get along, their chemistry is through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Almost makes her uncomfortable that they, when they get along so well.
Yeah. It's all flooding back to me that like, even with the Jen Shaw black eye situation, mm-hmm. it was like for a long time, the theory was that Jen and Heather had hooked up.
Yeah. Cause it's like, well, like when, then she was just still like, it's just for seasons, not say anything. And then up until like Jen Shaw actually going to prison for like her heinous crimes, did Heather be like, okay, she wasn't a good person. Like, yeah. But she was so loyal to her. And it's like, even like with the Bronwyn stuff, like that makes so much sense, because she'll be like, no, I had a husband like Todd and he's not a good guy and you shouldn't be with him. And we're all like this way. And like,
it's like,
he's no good for you. You'll be happier without him. Yeah.
Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no.
It's Kristen and Brittany coded. Kristen, though, is in love with Brittany. And no one
that LA handshake.
Yeah. It's hard it's hard when you like speak it into the world. Like, it's hard to take it back. Like, it's hard to unsee it, I guess. Mm. It's like
inside
of the tube kind of thing. Like, She's in love with her. She's in love with her. And I think she's
fun jacket.
In a weird way with Lisa.
And it's like, it is confusing, you know, like when I was like in middle school and high school, like, you know, I always knew I was bisexual, but like a lot of times you're still like, oh my gosh, I'm like obsessed with this person. And like, so like, in like a weird way. And it's like, is it because I'm jealous of them or is it because I want to fuck them? And it's so hard to separate the two. It's crazy. We haven't had a gay housewives, like two housewives falling in love on the show.
Yeah. What's up with that?
They like tease it in like a I kissed a girl and I liked it kind of way, but it's never like a Miami they love to do that.
yeah
like Alexia and Marisol
they're in love. It's like Tom
they're
and Tom
love.
Like they're life partners and you can't tell me otherwise.
Tom and Tom is the love story of VPR, and that's why the show had to end, because
they were like, this is dark.
Yeah, because people were like, we don't care. We're not rooting for them anymore, you know?
Right.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the big finish of the episode. Does it feel like everyone is dogpiling on Lisa, or do you think that it's like it's they're getting their like due, you know, like it's been built up for so long and they have a real bone to pick with her, I guess.
I feel like it's been built up, and now Whitney has someone who can, like, put her feelings into words in Bronwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is everything Whitney has been trying to say when it just comes out as, like, fuck you, Lisa Barlow.
Yeah.
Now she has, like, more words behind her.
You don't know my feelings.
This is my healing journey. I think this has been like a long time coming from Whitney's side. And now that Bronwyn's there to like verbalize for her and help her find the words. I'm just not a Lisa girl. I'm like, no, they could be way meaner. Like, they could be, like, way nastier than Lisa Barlow. Because the thing, like, that frustrates me about Lisa is she doesn't own anything. Like, she's always just like, that's not true. I'll call my lawyer. Like, whatever.
I have all these lawyers. I have a lawyer for everything. I have a lawyer for when I open up an Excel spreadsheet.
She can call them out on all their private stuff, like, all the time.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Yeah. Like, I think that they are wolfpacking. They are ganging up. Like, classic Housewives, like, oh, this is our enemy this season. This is the villain. Let's get her, girls. But it feels, sometimes, it feels a little deserved. It's like, she's taken part in doing that to other women on this cast, and she's always exposing people. And it's not like she exposes, like, little stupid things. Like, the stuff she exposes about these women is, like, very dark.
It is.
And, like, could destroy their whole lives and their whole marriages and their families. So it's crazy that she then would have all these secrets that they've been keeping for her just kind of out of niceness, you know?
Yeah, and also, I thought it was super weird that just, like, she wasn't in the premiere episode. Like, I'm like, like, that's your actual job. Like,
do you guys agree with the theory that she was, like, holding out for money? Did you hear about that?
Oh, no.
I don't know. I honestly think that she found out what they were doing and was like, I don't want to do that. And was like, I'm, like, such a popular housewife. I think that she thinks that she's probably the biggest housewife on the show, and maybe she didn't have to do it. But I was like, who doesn't do the premiere? You know?
Yeah, there were some other, I don't remember which account it was. So I don't want to misquote anybody, but there was, like, rumor that, Carlos King said that the producer behind the scenes rumor was that she felt like, because the show revolves so much around her, that she should be getting paid more. So she held out filming, and I think she didn't film for, like, 4 weeks or some amount of time. And but it doesn't help her. It doesn't help their case that the whole first episode was about her with her not being there.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Because it's like, then she's not even there to, like, negate anything, and everything becomes like, she didn't, like, of course your cast is going to be pissed at you. Like, we're in the fucking woods and you didn't show up.
Not to mention Bravo. Like, what a horrible miscalculation to be like, you know what? I'm going to hold this over all of their heads as a negotiating technique. At the same time, all of my coworkers are mad at me, and that's going to work out great for me this season. Like, they're destroying you.
Dismissed.
There's, like, so many pull quotes supporting whatever Bronwyn says. Like, they're mad at her.
Well, Meredith.
Yeah, she looks so scared going to that party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, Lisa in the Cadillac or whatever, like, with John, like, on the way. Like, she was just, like, seething. Yeah. And John was like, he's like, he never even gets to talk. And he was, like, trying to, like, look at her, like, be like, you look pretty or something. And he was just, she wouldn't even look at him. And he was just,
Yeah. What do you think of Lisa's allegations that Angie continues to go to Jin's same brow girl, nail girl, lash girl?
I loved when Mary was like, she's great.
She's the great. Like, she's just really good. Great work.
Brittany just chimes in. She's like, is it the brow girl? Like, whenever.
And she's like, I don't see her.
It's like, what are you taught? Brittany, where Brittany's have you
my.
Been?
Okay, listen. She's my favorite. I think she is such a star. Will she ever be like middle snowflake? No. But like she's like so funny to me. Like her relationship with the, you know, fifth string Osmond is hilarious to me. Like she's just, I don't know. She's like a Lucille Ball to me. She's just so funny.
I would love that you said that.
She could do a pratfall. You know she can.
I always say she missed her calling with Rock of Love. Like she would have fit so
She would have been great on Rock of
her
Love.
Her and Brett would have been incredible together.
Is he still alive?
Watch out, Daisy.
I was about to be like, okay, then I ship it. I wasn't sure.
She would also be really good on The Bachelor.
She'd be a great
golden bachelorette.
Golden shade.
That was shade.
She's old. She's a woman of a particular age.
Yeah.
And now we said it.
And now we said it.
She's so funny, though. I like the premiere episode where she's like, no, we are trying to tell Meredith, no, but we're like really good friends. And Meredith's like, have I ever called you? And she's like, once, twice. Yeah, and then she tries to hug Whitney, and Whitney's like, oh, she's like physically like blocking her. And Brittany's like,
she reminds me of old school. Like, it's a very specific brand of friend of. Like, it's not Marlo. It's not. It's
Pam,
like
Pam. What was her name? Was it the Beverly Hills? The 30,000 Dana.
Dana. It's Dana. Yes. Vibes. Like, it's Dana vibes, and it reminds me of the Kims on Jersey, Kim D and Kim.
Oh, yes.
I was like, it was like, so, Kim, like, Richards a little bit.
Anything to get on the show. Mm-hmm. Just like, I will do and say literally anything.
And she does.
I will kill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's that girl.
Mm-hmm. A real scene stealer. with a real lack of self-awareness.
Oh, I love
you
it.
Know?
Oh my God. I mean, it was so funny. Her monologue on the premiere episode. She's like, everybody, I have an announcement. Jared and I got engaged.
I love how
we're not engaged anymore.
I love how open she is about being a terrible mother. Like, you get that so rare in Housewives. So much of it is pretending to be a good mom. And she's like, yep, I've alienated my children.
They're not talking to me.
I'm like, yeah, give it to me.
She's like, be honest. Few talk to me, but a few don't right now.
Right now.
I also
like Ella Enchanted. Did you guys ever see that movie?
I love Ella Enchanted.
Where a fairy tale dropped in the middle of New York. I feel like that is how she goes about her life.
Oh my God, that is totally how she. And like, Jared is her Prince Charming, but he's like not all that into it. That, like, the last episode at the fancy brunch where there's like all the guys in this weird like wine room for whatever reason. Was it Meredith's husband that was asking Jared, like, so like, are you like in love with her? He's like, do you love her? And he's like, yeah, I love her. And he's like, but are you in love with her? And he's like, yeah
sure.
Yeah.
Take it or leave her.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I could watch like just TikToks of her singing in public.
Oh my God.
Her voice is great.
Oh my God. When I hear Pink Pony Club, I hear Britney's voice, not Chapel Rose. And she's like walking down the streets of Salt Lake City. Pink Pony Club.
She would be so happy to hear what you're saying about her. This would like float her off the ground.
Oh, she lifts me. She lifts my spirit. Like, when I watch her on screen, whether it be on TV or on a TikTok or other people's cameos, I'm like, I don't even have to take my Zoloft today. I still do, but I don't even need it.
Double dose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make this a social clip. Tag her. She will repost it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I'll be like, your version of Pink Pony Club is so much better than Chapel Rose.
She sings a 7-minute video of her singing. She's like, thanks.
Well, if you liked this,
here's more
Chapel Rose covers.
You start getting demos. Jeff Timmons is on them.
I would die. Oh my God. Nothing would make me happier. I'm going to manifest this. I'm going to manifest a Jeff Timmons, Britney, like, duet.
Yeah.
Has she ever done, like, it's Britney, bitch?
Not yet.
Oh, there's got to be some video proof.
It's Britney, bitch.
Oh, bitch.
That should be her tagline if they ever make
it. If they ever let her have one.
Or just her going,
yeah.
Pink Pony Club. It's like, I may not be an Osmond, but I am Britney, bitch.
Who needs Donnie and Marie when you have Britney, bitch?
Any final thoughts on Salt Lake City episode or what you're excited about to come in this season?
I'm just excited for like more Mary. I love when Mary's clocked in. Like last season when she was like, don't sit next to me. You put bread in your purse. I don't want bread in my purse. Like just those random little clips. Like I think Mary Cosby's so funny. I think she's treacherous.
Yeah.
I think she may be a cult leader, but I like her on the show.
She has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
She's our Joan Rivers, you know? It's, like, problematic, but hilarious.
Yeah. But she's our, yeah.
But we don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't have enough female cult leaders, honestly. We don't.
True.
We need more women in clothes.
Like, remember, like, during COVID, like, when she didn't have her church anymore and she was just wandering around her house talking to the mannequins?
Yeah. You have no idea how much money I would pay to sit in her hoarder house and, like, go through purses with her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah. While eating, like, fish fillets from McDonald's.
Yeah. Drive me around. The things that happen in Sprinter vans on Bravo. Of all the things, Mary being like, drive me around to get a fish fillet.
Incredible. I'm
going through a drive-thru in a Sprinter van.
Sitting like a royal blue throne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. With like a green, like green carpet.
Yeah. It was in her grandmother's will. This is what she wanted for her.
True.
Yeah.
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 It was never on my season six of Salt Lake Bingo card that like Mary would be totally checked in and Meredith would be glazed 90%.
That was gonna be my like closing. I'm just like, I am completely over the Brooks. Or I'm sorry, not I am over Brooks, but I'm over the Marks family. I don't want any more. Like, and I think what's that spinoff called? Gen whatever?
Next Gen. Yeah.
Them being on that show so much completely. I was like, all right, if I wasn't already over them, it's like, my God, like all you guys, they're worse than Heather and Terry. They're always just selling shit.
Does he still have the tracksuits?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, he does.
They sell the track. See, I
did you guys like the
nice
show?
Though.
Did you guys like the show or did you mostly just experience Mark's burnout?
You love it. Yeah, I love Next Gen. Really?
I haven't seen it. I think I should watch it. I need to.
You would love it. It's so
I think I was just like I don't want to see Gia. I don't know why I don't like Gia.
So Troy felt that way too until I just like bullied him over and over. I'm like, you have to watch it. It's so good. I was like, Charlie is like a part of like a crack den. I don't know how to explain Charlie. Like,
who's Charlie?
Charlie was a part of that crypto like kidnapping thing that happened in New York, and there was like an article about it, and they talk about how one of like the crypto bros gave Charlie a black eye, and in the season at one point he has like two black eyes, and I was like, he was at the crypto kidnapping house. Like, it's
oh my
it's
God.
It has the spirit of NYC Prep.
Ooh, love NYC Prep.
Which is like truly like top five.
Gone too soon. They should still be following those kids around.
Mm-hmm. It's basically that, but like modern, taken out of like the Gossip Girl era. Mm-hmm. And like, it's modern. It's not about like society in New York City. Yeah. It's more about like having a hustle and like being an influencer.
They have
hustles. So it has that vibe.
Oh my God, that sold me.
Okay.
I don't even need to be bullied.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
Yeah, you don't have to bully me, but I'll take it. I feel like Katie Ginelli. Okay.
If you want to.
Yeah. Fair. That's fair.
I love it. Okay, so we like to end every episode with a little segment we call Oral Exams, which is like a 1 minute topic on a pop culture or a 1 minute verbal essay on like a pop culture topic of your choice, just whatever's on your mind. If you want to rant or what you're watching, what you're listening to, what's bugging you, opinions. Would you guys want to do that?
I'm like, only a minute.
Oh my God,
we'll let you go over. We won't give you the light.
We like to call our like fancy guests above the line,
above the line people.
You guys are
top of the call list. You're top of the call sheet today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
yeah. You're both number one.
You're
on
number one.
Sheet,
and we don't say that to every guest. Sometimes we're like, you are the PA, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, what's that?
Like,
and I'm like, oh my God.
Can you get our lunch order?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Like, I'm not over here. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle, do you want to do one to start?
Yes.
Or I can start. Okay.
I'll start.
All right. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that I am disgusted, I'm appalled, I'm shaken, and I can't believe it. Why has there never been a movie about Big Kathy, Kyle Richards, Kim Richards, and Kathy Hilton's insane, crazy mother? Like, I knew about Big Kathy. I knew that she was like one of the most like horrendous stage moms and like all of like Hollywood ever. But no, this woman like poisoned a woman and who was having an affair with this woman's like husband. She ended up getting married to this guy because she got pregnant with Kyle. She also tried also pushing Kyle's dad down like a flight of stairs in front of his like other daughter. She is still beloved by all of her daughters too, which is like the craziest thing about it. The only thing that we've ever seen about it is the fakest show ever, American Woman, produced by Kyle Richards with Alicia Silverstone, which is not at all who Big Kathy was. And I feel like we deserve a documentary or something.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Agree 100.
I just read House of Hilton 2 days ago. Yeah.
And it'll do that too.
Yeah, I was the first book I had read since the Jessica Simpson autobiography.
Well, it was like the next good book written, you know?
Yeah, I'm not out here reading like East of Eden. Yawn.
You should listen to Demi Moore's autobiography.
I want to. Yeah, see, I've been wanting to, because I listen to audiobooks, I've been like waiting for House of Hilton to come out with an audiobook, but they won't even do it. I think the Hilton Richards like machine is so powerful somehow. They're like keeping all of this hidden.
That guy's Kardashian book is also incredible.
He
makes a lot of like
Jerry Oppenheimer. That's his name.
Is it really? Mm. Oh, I thought that was a made up name.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Oppenheimer.
I was thinking of Jerry Bruckheimer.
He wrote House of Hilton, but he can't get anybody in Hollywood to let him write the story, and it would have explosions everywhere.
Even Spielberg is like, please, somebody help
somebody,
me.
Somebody, I just want to make it in this town.
Yeah, I'll have to check out the Kardashian one, too.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, I guess I'll do a, since we're being literary, I'll do a book-inspired one, too. Okay, this is Lauren Davis's oral exam, and my time starts now. In this essay, I will prove that Ask Not, the story of the Kennedy men and the women whose lives they destroyed, which Michelle recommended to me because she listened to an audiobook. It goes into such horrible detail about what a bad like person RFK Jr. is, like how he's a cheater, how he's lied and dogged people. And I feel like the American public hates cheaters now more than they love pseudoscience and crazy anti-vax stuff. So I think we really need to get the word out that RFK Jr. cheated on every wife he's ever had, banged like a ton of people. He was really mean to them. He drove his like first wife insane with all of his cheating, and then people will start to turn on him. That's my theory, and that's my time.
That's great.
That's a good one. The Kennedy family, my God.
Yeah.
My God.
My God. Like, did you read that book, Ask Not? Oh.
I haven't, but I just wrote it down so I don't forget.
It is so crazy. And Dutt starts with our girly Carolyn Bessette.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Queen.
Mm-hmm. Queen. I gone too soon because of her stupid husband. He demanded to fly a plane with a broken foot, and he had never flown at night before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the book basically is like.
They're always doing shit like this.
The author considers it to be like a murder basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm from a long line of Kennedy haters, so I will.
Oh, yeah, because you're from Massachusetts. Yeah. Controversial take.
That's why you came to Dallas to see where he was assassinated. You were like, good.
I'm glad he's gone. I thought what he did to Jackie, my God.
You're like saging the area.
Like a confetti gun. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you're like celebrating. You're like having like a family reunion. You're like, this makes us so happy.
We just love it here on this little area.
Yeah. This is like your beauty lab and laser. It's like that important. Yeah. So funny. Historically.
Kelly, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, great.
I need a minute.
Okay.
This is Kelly Williams, Oral Exam, and her time starts now.
In this essay, I will say that the music industry is not fun anymore. So I just watched the Lilith Fair doc, and it makes me so sad that everyone is so competitive now that no one will put their egos down and put together another Lilith Fair. I need a Lilith Fair with people like Michelle Branch and Colby Calais and Olivia Rodrigo and, you know, put Doechii there. Why not? Like, I would love another female music festival because it seems safe. It seems fun. And the way that Sarah McLachlan and, you know, Sheryl Crow were able to put everything aside just to empower other women, improve that women can sell tickets. And if it's a bunch of women on one ticket, it'll still sell and they'll raise money for charity and talk about Planned Parenthood. And we are missing that because it's too competitive and everyone just wants to be the best.
Time.
Wow. I agree. We gotta add Britney to that lineup from Salt Lake.
We can add any female singer songwriter. It doesn't even need to be a song. I know Britney writes songs. Doesn't need to be a songwriter. Just throw Kelly Clarkson there. Like, let's mm-hmm. go.
We need like that granola, you know, optimistic feminism of the 90s that we celebrate through song.
Also, don't you think it's like also just like all the festivals are so like they're not even music festivals anymore. It's like even just like all the ones in Austin, it's like it's everything is happening. And like Coachella, it's like, I don't know. It's just like they're very big productions. Like it's a lot.
Last weekend, I went to a music festival and I saw Natasha Bedingfield and Michelle Branch. And I was like, what happened to this genre of lady music?
Yes. Yes.
We need it back.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait. VH1.
VH1.
They need to bring back Divas Live.
Oh, I love Divas Live.
Mariah Carey's all we have left.
Yeah.
I do have a question, though. Was there a feud between Sarah McLachlan and Sheryl Crow?
Well, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, this is crazy.
No, I just feel like they were so big and like their careers were so huge. But instead of being like, well, I'm going to outsell you and, you know, my career will be bigger than yours. It's like, what if we all join together and then have a side stage for singers like Christina Aguilera and Maya and just like so many different genres of women singers.
Right,
like Nicki Minaj was a part of Lilith Fair.
Wow!
I'm like, Bethany, I need to calm down.
No, it's exciting. It's like girl power. What happened to girl power?
Yeah, you chose the right topic. Okay, I feel ready.
Troy. Okay, this is Troy McKitty's oral exam. His time starts now.
So Kelly's is a perfect segue into mine, which is something that I've been ranting about for a couple weeks now. Streaming television. I think that streaming is the devil. And I think that we brought the devil into our house without realizing it. And I think that removing cable television from our homes, with it being a unifier of American culture for as long as any of us have been alive, did something that we did not take into account. I think it's a much bigger deal that none of us watch stuff together anymore. It feels purposeful as a way to dismantle us, that we watch everything separately. I just think it's awful. And I think it's ruined music. I think it's ruined movies, television. The way people watch TV sucks now. And the way that we receive music is really affected by it because we don't have places like VH1 that can put a bunch of women like that on a pedestal and present them a certain way, or things like Diary and Making the Video and TRL, like stuff that celebrates music we don't have anymore. And I just think it's really detrimental to our culture.
That's so true. Mm. It's like we have no monoculture
anymore.
We don't. Monoculture. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't all watch everything at the same time. Like ever.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to. And we just have so many choices. Like that's what like really overwhelms me. Like because I have ADHD, but the time I'm going to bed and want to watch something, my Adderall's not working. But I'm like,
well, we all do because we're being forced to have
I'm
ADHD
like, there's so much to watch that I end up just watching something that I've already seen so many times because I'm, by the time I'm like, do I still even want to watch anything? I'm just so tired. You know, like I'm just so tired. I just want to watch something familiar. So I watch the Berkshires episodes of New York. And I go right to the lullaby.
Our listeners sometimes will say, and this is what made me truly realize this. Our listeners will be like, well, I wasn't born yet when that happened. Or like, I didn't see this movie because I wasn't born. And it's like, that's never been like an issue. Yeah. Like I watched things from times where I wasn't born. And then it made me realize like, oh, because they don't have television. They're not being presented with stuff every single day, like I Love Lucy and Three's Company and Roseanne or whatever. Like I would like Kelly and I were like, yeah, we weren't born when I Love Lucy came on, but we were watching it all the time as kids because of cable.
And
yeah,
I love the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah,
to like teach you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, get caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's no nostalgia, I feel like.
Or even those for times like Best Week Ever. Experience. Remember that on VH1 Best Week Ever? They would have like the countdowns. But it's even just like the way we ingest everything. It's like I listen to audiobooks or just like you can watch TV on your phone, you know? So it's do you even need a TV? Are people even like actually watching TV on an actual TV half the time?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of like bonding with my mom was like watching One Tree Hill on Tuesday nights, you know, like sitting there and watching shows together.
Mm-hmm. The ritual. Yeah. Of, like,
the ritual. Especially holiday episodes of sitcoms is like completely gone because we don't watch TV together. So we're not all watching the Halloween episode of whatever anymore.
Right.
Like we'll just kind of see it when we see it and it'll be 8 episodes instead of 25. Like it's just. It sucks.
And then it takes 2 years to get the next season, and I don't remember.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, Severance.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'm fine with that because I have no idea what happened last season, and I just tell people I do know what's going on. But I'm like, I literally, like, I look up, and I'm like, am I dropped in the woods now? This is Provo. I've seen this. This is Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Perhaps that's the one thing that unites us is that we're all really confused by Severance.
But we're like, God, it's a good show. God, that's a good show. Ugh.
What happened?
It's like keep them in the office. Ugh.
Yeah.
Let them just work.
Well, thank y'all so much for being here. We appreciate your time so much. We know you guys have a big tour coming up in addition to being a big podcast. I'm gonna go through big cities like Chicago,
Seattle. We're really promoting the shit out of this tour.
Anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna be in San Diego, LA, Seattle, St. Louis, New York, DC. Head over to our Instagram, link in bio if you want to get tickets. And if you want to use a code for 20% off, it's STARS, STARS.
Stars are blind.
Because y'all are stars.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this was so much fun. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Oh my God,
seriously.
So much fun. Next time, we got to have you on and just talk blind items because I'm real passionate about those.
Or streaming.
Ooh.
Or streaming.
Or streaming. Passionate about
a real
that.
Andy Rooney type rant.
Oh boy. Oh,
you know what?
Andy Rooney. Did you guys get that reference though? Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes? See, I didn't think
We're old.
Okay. No, because I'm old. Like, I turned 40, so I was like, I don't know if they'll know who Andy Rooney is. Yeah.
No, you guys should. We should do a. Sometimes every once in a while, we'll do a Housewives blind item episode.
Ooh.
So we go back. We just did a Orange County one where we went back to like 2008, 2007, and we were reading blind items about like Tampa or about
Tampa.
Lynn Curtin.
Oh my God. Like,
you don't even have to. I mean, she put that.
No, we used to have it. We used to have a subscription to the OC register to read tabloids from 2007 about Lori. But it was free for a year, and it ran.
Oh my god!
Our subscription just ended, and we didn't renew it because we have to pay for all of our other streaming services. And now we keep now I can't read the news.
Well, yeah. we'll figure out a city, a housewife city, and have you guys on. That'd be super fun.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and it was nice talking to people we can see when we had Dumois, and she, you know, she's anonymous, so
cloaked in darkness.
She's cloaked.
Yeah, she's cloaked. She's cloaked. Cult leader style.
Bravo, brave.